The recordings have started. Thank you.
Thank you. Shall I do the roll call, James?
Yes, please, yes.
We have on the line Joel Centerville, James Bledel, Red Rasmussen, Paul Diaz, Greg Aaron, and we have apologies from Jose Nazaro and Randy Vaughan.
And Carl Fair.
And Carl Fair.
And Dave Piscatella will be joining a little bit late.
Thanks very much. And for staff, we have Marika Koenigs and myself, Glenn.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
And I'm looking at, did everyone have a chance to see the ambitious, or some might say optimistic, agenda that was posted this morning to the list? Not. I'll just jump in. The first item was to discuss some of the lines that Dave Piscatello identified, and there was some conversation on the list relative to, I believe it was line 256 as a starter. Is that correct? And line 256 appears to be that was maybe orphaned from an earlier draft, and there were a couple of folks that recommended that that line be deleted. Strong feelings that we should keep this line. It is, I believe, the group wishes to emphasize that fast flux needs better definition and more research.
James, this is Marika. Just to note, in the draft that is posted on the wiki, I already deleted this line as there seemed to be support for it. But of course, if the group wants to do it differently, no problem to put it back in there. But just to know that it has already been included as a proposed change in the updated draft.
Okay.
James, it's Paul. I had no problem with that change.
Okay. I think go ahead and leave it out, Marika. I just wanted to make sure that we had a chance to gauge support on the other changes that Dave proposed. And I apologize, I'm trying to find the lines, but my line numbers are not matching up here.
It's line 256. I think it has changed a bit, because I think when Dave sent his comments, it was still based on the previous draft, so it has changed a bit because there were some additions and deletions and things.
Okay. And then he also had a question relative to line 269. Do you have that handy?
That line number is the same.
Oh, that's the same in a different version?
In the latest version, I think those comments were made in relation to the updated version. So at least I have that that link to the same line number. So, or actually, I think I updated them myself to reflect, to make sure people look at the right place. So that's the 269 in the latest version that's on the wiki.
What about the remaining items that Dave pointed out? Same situation, or, I mean, can we move?
Yes, the ones that were included in the email I sent out, those are the correct line numbers linked to the latest draft of the final report.
Okay. Okay. Well, we can move on then, and if Dave joins us, we can revisit that subject, but it sounds like I'm dead horse here a little bit. The next item was Category 3 comments, and I apologize, I'm working remote. My system is still pulling up the draft report. In fact, I think I may have frozen up here. But Category 3 was at least four comments. As soon as I get that here. Category 3 were four comments relative to, I think some of them touched on various items that were covered thoroughly elsewhere in the report. One, for example, discussed, if you want to look at 3A, that the root cause of this problem was unpatched and compromised home machines, and proposes various types of blacklists to mitigate that. Second one, for example, discusses various legitimate uses, and I think we've covered that in the food benefits section of the charter questions. The third comment was a little more interesting in that it made the distinction between trying to implement changes at the network layer to address problems in the application layer, and how that this has always been somewhat of a futile exercise. I think that we touched on that in Section 7A, where we discussed the challenges relative to FastBlock. And finally, comment 3B was from a previous member of the working group. There were several points, including that the DNS overall has many vulnerabilities, FastBlock being just one of them, not all of which are within the scope of ICANN to cure. And then the comment goes on to address some of the other comments that were submitted earlier in the comment period. I kind of posted a synopsis of all these to the list, and I wanted to see if anyone had any strong feelings. Was I off base on thinking that we've covered all of these topics fairly thoroughly within the report, or was there something that maybe I'm reading wrong and is in fact new information? Any thoughts on the list?
James, Paul, I concurred with what you said. I don't think we needed to address beyond what we already have in the report. I think these questions are handled in the text that we currently have.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Anyone else? Okay. Well, in that case, then, we were going to move on to Section 4, but Dave has not joined us. Is that correct, Rachel? Looking at meeting view, and I don't see that he's joined yet.
No, I don't see him on the meeting view yet, so I presume he's still on his other call.
Okay, and it was a healthy exchange on this category on the list.
But maybe Rod is on the line, so I know he has kids running around, but maybe, I don't know if he wants to comment or prefers to wait until Dave is on.
I actually prefer to wait until Dave is on, because I'm going to give him credit and blame for most of the work.
Okay, and we have Greg as well, so that'll be a good deferral that when Dave jumps on. So we'll skip ahead to Category 5, which is also fell into my lap here. And this was just two comments. First comment was very critical of the initial report as lacking in any quantifiable data to form the basis of policy. And, was essentially saying that those who are misusing FastBlocks are a small small group that was disproportionate in their effect. And that a lot of this is probably best dealt with law enforcement rather than ICANN. Then the comment seems to take a different tack in that it refers to registries and registrars preventing the name from resolving in the DNS rather than taking a look at the content. So that is clearly an ICANN issue, and really in many regards is a description of what we do when we detect something like this. As a registrar, we suspend the domain name or cancel the registration. I thought that this material was touched on in a couple of different areas in the reports. For example, who benefits captures most of the legitimate uses. I didn't see anything new in this comment. Discussion of whether or not ICANN is the most appropriate body to work these issues was discussed in Section 7B, which is under challenges, and in the draft of Section 8 and 9, which admittedly are up for rework in one of our final meetings. So, but overall, I didn't see anything in here that was necessary to go back and revisit some of these or recompose some of these sections. Agree? Disagree? Discussion?
Agreed.
Am I on mute? Okay. And and then comment 5B, once again, enumerates all the differences between legitimate uses of FastFlux and some of the characteristics of FastFlux as used for criminal purposes. And once again, I thought that these were covered very very well in other sections of the report, including how FastFlux attacks work and characteristics of FastFlux. So I didn't feel that that comment either regarded warranted going back and changing any existing text. So, any strong feelings on that?
Also agreed.
Okay, well, so that's the bed category 3 and 5. Marika, I think that we have concluded as a group that there are no 3 and 5 comments did not generate any new additions or revisions to the report. So we can, if Dave is joined, we can move on to question 4. We have apologies from Cal, both for not being on the call, but also that he has his Category 6 to us later. So we can jump ahead to Paul's Category 7 and 8 for discussion. And as soon as I pull that up here, I'll turn it over to Paul.
Deshmaga, can I just ask one question? Because you know, everyone's providing really good like recommendation, you know, why it has already been addressed, and well, does everyone feel comfortable that we include this information in the categorization document and maybe include it as an annex, so it provides another evidence of, you know, how the group has dealt with the comments, and people can find as well where their comments actually have been addressed in the document. Would people feel comfortable with that? I mean, of course, that's a document that people can review as well, and then, you know, rewrite as they see fit if there are certain sentences they don't like or things like that. But what do people think of that?
If I'm understanding correctly, Marika, you're proposing that we capture not only the text of the comments but also our analysis of them in an annex.
Yes, correct. What I've been doing basically in the categorization document that we've been using to track who's looking at you know, which categories, and for some I've included like what people have already posted to the list, and you know where the group feels they have been addressed, or the proposed text that has been included. It would be a way to track you know, what the group has done with the comments and where they have been addressed or where they were already addressed in the initial report.
So you're saying about capturing that last column working group decision or whatever that's called into text, and I'm okay with that, but we can put that up to the group for discussion.
Yeah, this is Rob. I think that's kind of necessary, especially when our conclusion is that we've already covered it in the document and refer where in the document it's covered.
Okay. Okay, Marika, it sounds like we're on board with that.
Okay, so you know, once you've gone through all the comments, I'll include everything in this document so people have a chance as well to review this and make sure that, you know, they're happy with how things are reflected. So that's great. Thanks.
Okay, taking a look at Category 7 now, there were 3 comments were grouped into this category, and Paul did a very thorough analysis of those. So, Paul, do you want to start with 7?
Sure, thanks, James. You know, I don't know how thorough, because obviously from the list my memory wasn't as good as it could have been. Anyway, 7 and A are both similar in that the folks posting comments were taking issue with the FastFlux used by free speech advocates note that we had made in the report. And as Greg accurately noted, you all hear me okay? I have some weird feedback.
You sounded fine.
Okay.
You sound fine. There's just a little clicking noise, but it's fine.
Okay. Anyway, the point is we do have existence of the Ultra Reach service, and there's somebody listed on the list, other examples as well, legitimate uses of flux techniques to forward those ends. So, you know, the recommendation was, and Marika's put it in, the text actually that Greg had proposed. So it now reads, the working group also identified the use of fast flux as service providers wishing to deal with situations in which a government or other actors deliberately preventing access to services from within a country or region or is engaged in censorship. This is described as a possible, quotation, legitimate use. We also note that legality may vary by jurisdiction. The working group is not taking a position on the legality or illegality of any particular service provider's implementation. So the key here is that we're underscoring that there could be these uses, these potential uses, legitimate uses, and that we, as a group, are not going to comment on the legality or illegality of such uses, as the poster had noted. And again, Marika, as I went through the report, you've already plugged these in, right? I saw them out lines, what used to be 495 through, or 494 through 497. It looked like it's all there, correct?
Correct.
Right. So that's 7A and B. C was a very straightforward one. Dr. Gary Warner was just urging us to include on the list of those who benefit, make explicit criminal entities. Criminals obviously benefit, can benefit from fast flux. So that was straightforward, and we just plugged in a new bullet out around line 151, I believe. Criminal entities is added to the list of those who benefit.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And I see that there were comments on the list from primarily Dave, but Greg, did you also comment on this, or was it just an exchange between Paul and Dave?
I think it's okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback on this line. Are you hearing it?
Yeah, that's killing me.
I'm having that too.
Glenn, if you're on the line, do you think there's anything we could do asking the operator to look?
I'm just identifying the noise now. You can just bear with me. Thank you.
And perhaps everyone, speaking, if you could make sure that you're on mute, and if you could not use a speakerphone if it's at all possible, just to eliminate possible causes. Sounds like it's gone now. Or did we lose everyone?
No, that's perfect, James. It's clear now.
Okay, we're here. And I see that Dave has joined also, but he's also on mute. Hello, Dave. We're focusing on comments 7A, B, and C, and I noticed that you and Greg had some comments on Paul's inclusions or recommendations. Seems relatively straightforward to me, but does anyone have any differing positions that they'd like to get on the floor for discussion? And everyone who participated in that exchange is satisfied with the results. Okay, sounds like we can move on.
All right then. I also had question group 8, who would benefit from cessation. Again, Dr. Gary Warner, he wanted us to make explicit that law enforcement investigators could benefit from the cessation of fast flux. mail seems very straightforward, so it's just a clarification, and we plugged in new text. It appears now in lines 203 and 204. And a bullet that reads, law enforcement investigators who have to divert their limited resources to contain fast flux attack networks, used to perpetrate various online crimes. So it's just a straightforward one. I mean, it's not new, just making it explicit.
Okay. And was that the only comment in that category, Paul?
I believe so. Okay. It was short.
I'm having trouble pulling up the document from
It was.
Okay.
It looks longer in the document just because we provided a lot of background text.
Okay. Well, that seems relatively straightforward and reasonable. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? I see that Craig just voiced his agreement with that. Okay, well, for Section 7 and Section 8, it looks like we have a couple of minor changes. Marika, sounds like some of those have already been incorporated in the document or could be relatively relatively short order. Did you capture those?
Sorry, which category did you mean?
7 and 8, just in general. The addition of criminals as beneficiaries of fax flux and the addition of law enforcement and...
Yes, those changes have already been incorporated in the draft.
Okay. And thank you, Paul, for taking a look at those two categories.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, well, now that Dave has joined, can we circle back to Category 4 and take a look at the items that were posted today? And I apologize, I didn't really have an opportunity today to take a look at them in depth. Dave, perhaps you could start us with Category 4A. Dave, still online?
I'm with, just sort of going through all the actions in under Category 4, and then I set sort of my ideas to Rod, and Rod reviewed them, and in most cases had complimentary paragraphs or observations. So what you see in front of you, you know, was posted by me, but it's actually a joint effort by Rod and myself, as you know, as we were directed. 4A was a comment regarding strict laws in place to allow registrars and registries to registrars and hosting companies to terminate Fast Plus hosting. The proposed answer essentially kind of scopes out what ICANN's remit is and is not with respect to legislation and regulation, and explains, you know, some of the challenges in trying to define or adopt law or policy to terminate fast flux. And I think, you know, what we mostly do here is emphasize that this wasn't, you know, one of the major themes of the report, and again tease out that notion that there's a difference between volatile networking techniques used in legitimate flux production applications versus the same techniques that might be part of the techniques to characterize the fast flux attack network. So, you know, 4 is fairly long, 4A is fairly long, but, you know, that's the general gist of it. You know, I suggest that perhaps it would be more useful to have people review it and then comment online, then try to comment during the conversation.
Okay. And I think that
James, I had a quick question.
Yes.
Dave, the question for you is, was your proposed answer both paragraphs or just the first, and then the second paragraph was for the list, sort of filling out your thoughts?
Actually, I think, you know, whether or not it goes in, what goes into the report, either in the main body or, you know, or as, you know, a response, part of the response that we summarize in appendix, is up to the committee. I think that the first paragraph certainly captures most of what I intended. The second paragraph is largely Rod's perspective, so perhaps he could, you know, he could comment on that.
Okay, I don't have the benefit of seeing what the second paragraph is, but assume that's what I was talking about, the pharma bill or pharma laws in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was just using that as an example of existing law that touches on this, which gets to what the questioner had placed in there, which is, I kind of keyed in on the word allow versus require, even though I thought that from the tone of the question, the guy meant require, but allow brings up an interesting point, which I don't know that we really talked about very much, and I don't remember talking about very much, is safe harbor law, how it applies to ISPs and registrars. And when we started the Fast Flux Working Group, we didn't really have, at least in the U.S., a safe harbor law that touched registrars. As of April 15th of this year, we do. So I thought that was kind of actually fairly pertinent information. I know it's kind of late to throw it in the paper, but it's actually a fairly major change in the framework around which we've been discussing this. So that question keyed that thought in my mind. That's why I put that in there.
Can I raise just kind of a general question to the group, which is that I haven't really had a chance to examine these submissions in depth, and I think that I'm possibly not alone in that. And sounds like there's a lot more to cover here, and I wonder if we should allow these exchanges to continue on the list for our next call for Category 4, understanding that introduces a bit of a delay, but I want to make sure that we're covering these thoroughly and doing them justice, and I want to make sure that we're not introducing new information at this stage in the game. And I just don't feel comfortable, having not read them, doing this on the fly. But if it's just me, we can go on.
No, James, it's Paul. I'd appreciate a little more time. That's why I asked the question. Should I be thinking of both the paragraphs or the one? I need more time to think it through as well.
James, I actually realize that Rod and Rod does as well, that you know, we weren't able to find time, in time to give people review time. So I didn't expect that, that we would be able to, review and agree on all these in real time during the call. So I think I would actually prefer that people get a chance to really digest what we've written, because there's a lot there.
Okay. I think that's very sensible, Dave, and thanks to you and Rod for putting these together, and it's clear that you guys put a lot of thought into these, and I want to make sure we do justice to your work.
I concur with that as well, and I apologize for the verbosity that Dave and I tend to have, but I do do that. So.
Now, in our defense, these are really tricky issues. I'm sorry. Some of these questions were really, really tricky, because they either show that that maybe we haven't explored something carefully enough, or that there were some other issues that we just really need to hammer home that are reflected in I think some fairly insightful comments. So
that's a good assessment, Dave, and certainly if something warrants a little more work on our part, we're not afraid of that. We just want to continue that balance of wanting to get this work wrapped up, but also ensure the quality of whatever it is to deliver. So why don't we, is it necessary to, Dave, now that you're on the call, to circle back to some of the changes that you proposed? You referenced them by line number, and I really apologize, folks. I'm having a lot of trouble bringing up the PDF. But there was line 275, line 326, and line 344. Maybe, Marika, you can give us the status of, have those changes been incorporated into the document, or
Well, they weren't actually changes. I think that they proposed was more, you know, the group should maybe have a look and admit there's maybe a need for a clarification. Dave, I think you didn't propose any specific wording or changes yet, no? It was more to flag that these lines needed maybe a little bit more attention.
Right. I think that there were some, and Greg Garin had actually commented on at least one. As I was going through introducing the changes that try to clarify the distinction between fast flux attack networks and volatile networking, I was trying to read a little bit more carefully, and I sort of feel dumb that I didn't do this before the interim report as carefully as I did this last pass. But there were some lines that just didn't seem to hold together with the remainder of the report. And so line 269 said something on the order of encourage ISPs to instrument their own networks. And that's such an open-ended statement, I wasn't certain what we wanted to say there and whether there was more that had been accidentally edited, or did we have something specific to fast flux networking that we wanted to advise ISPs to consider. But I was just raising that as a question.
I can go ahead. I can go ahead and address that one if you like for just a second. This is Joe. And
uh-huh.
The idea there is that often when you visit with ISPs, they will say things like, "Well, I'd really love to help, but I really don't have any visibility into my network at all. What happens there essentially is a black box to me." And what I'd like to go ahead and do is make sure that ISPs receive encouragement to do things like NetFlow, to make sure they go ahead and do things like actually, save DHCP logs so that they can actually map a customer to an IP address at a given time. So the point is, sort of just general best practices for things like being able to go ahead and detect and observe what is being done that's abusive on one's network. So if you want to change that to say, do NetFlow, just to go ahead and make it very concrete.
Maybe what you could do is capture what you just said and put it on email, because I think there's a fairly widespread of ISPs, just as there are widespreads of registrars in terms of capabilities and expertise and. I know my local ISP would say, "What's NetFlow?" So
that's precisely the problem.
I know. I think we're opening up. Or at least we don't have to say that this is within ICANN's ICANN's remit, but I think we can make the observation that this would certainly be beneficial.
Maybe we can get some proposed text like that
verbiage.
Was that Rod that was proposing that? I'm sorry, not recognizing.
Joe? Joe.
Okay. So maybe we can get some proposed text on the list.
Verbiage will be sent.
Okay. And is NetFlow a product, or is it a protocol, or I'm not familiar with that?
It's a technology. Essentially what it does is give you a flow record, so essentially where something came from, where it went, how long it was doing it, and basically how much data was transferred with some other bits and pieces.
Okay.
But in a nutshell, essentially goes ahead and allows you to see, for example, if you have bad guys abusing a host, you can see the traffic coming in, you can see the traffic going out. Not necessarily at the level of the contents, but at the level of the actual, source and destination.
Okay. But I think that Dave is correct. At best, that would just be a recommendation as opposed to anything ICANN can cause to happen. Line 326 was the next one, Dave.
No, there was one before that, the 275.
Oh, I'm sorry, 275, okay. And if you have the report handy, Marisa, can you summarize what that's about?
Yeah, well, it's basically one bullet which says, establish guidelines for the use of specific techniques such as very low TTL values. And well, Dave, you can maybe explain why you had an issue with that one.
Yeah, I just thought that saying use without a qualifier, appropriate use, seemed a little nebulous, and I just because just use can be malicious use. So I just wanted to quantify, or qualify that, a little bit. So it's just an insertion of the word appropriate before the word use in line 275.
Okay.
So then on line 326, I think this is one of the areas that simply points out that we have a statement that reflects the interim draft status of the prior report. And so if you read line 326, one of the questions that it begs is what is needed for these to become final conclusions rather than interim. And I think that's a broader action than just looking at the line and saying yes or no. I think that just sort of points out that there's text there that we have to decide probably through a mailing discussion. How are we going to deal with this so that the recommendation is a final recommendation as opposed to or final conclusion as opposed to an interim conclusion.
And this relates to chapter 8 and 9, basically, because these are the parts of the executive summary that basically summarize what was discussed in those chapters. So it's basically part, I think, from a next discussion that we need to have, indeed, on those two chapters that then will, of course, be reflected in the executive summary accordingly.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Executive summary that refer to those, what we were calling those chapters that have been subbed out but not finished. In sections 8 and 9. Okay. Okay, well, we'll have to take a look at that. We have that identified for a future meeting on our Over the Horizon, which is already looking a little rough because we couldn't cover 6, 4, and 6, but that's okay. We can press on. What I'd like to do next is take a look at Category 9 and find some volunteers. Hopefully we can get 3 or 4 folks to sign up because it's such a large group.
James, can I maybe make one comment first? There was some discussion, I think that was in relation to Category 4 on the Mannheim formula that has disappeared from the report. I just checked, and it is still there, but it's definitely very hidden because it's basically linked through Randy Vaughan's study that's in the annex now. So if you click through there, you end up in his study, which explains the Mannheim formula. But as some people mentioned, it might be worth bringing that back into the document somewhere. So if anyone wants to make a suggestion where that would be appropriate and provide some text for that, that would be helpful.
Okay.
I'd definitely like to see it back in there to tell you the truth. I think it's a real central piece of technology that people should be aware of. This is Joe.
Okay. And this is for Category 4, Marika?
I think it was mentioned in relation to Category 4, but I don't know if it necessarily fits within any of the areas there or whether, I think Rod mentioned it, if he wants to have a look at the document to see where it would be appropriate to mention it, and then as well if anyone has a suggestion for some language that we put around that. I'm happy to look back as well in previous drafts to see if we had some text and put that on the list to see if people want to see that back in either way.
Yeah, this is Rod. I think that there was definitely in the text previously in the body. I was actually looking for the reference to it to as a response to one of the comments. And the search is gone, so that's why I brought it up. I think a previous version might be something to bring up and see where it was fitting logically before.
Okay, I will look back then to see what was incorporated and where it was, and I'll put that on the list so people can then comment whether that's accurate or whether they would like to see it phrased differently or whether they would like to see it in some other place in the report.
Well, I appreciate the efforts to make that more conspicuous.
One other thing on point 4, I think there was at least one of the comments that Dave and I had that basically said we've already covered this. We might be able to knock that one off today. We don't have to review that one over the next week or so.
Okay.
I don't remember which one it was.
Do you remember which one that was?
I don't off the top of my head. Unfortunately, I'm still in my car. So
okay.
It was like 4G or 4F or somewhere in the middle.
Okay. I'm going through them as quickly as I can now. Jump out at anyone. It's not G, it's not F.
Dave, do you remember which one it was?
Was this the one from the IPC?
Oh, it might have been that one.
Actually, then I misunderstood your email, and I posted your comment as the proposed response. So, why don't we take a look at it? Look at it, and we'll post to the list if there's a clarification.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Trying to get it out this morning, and perhaps I did it a little bit, too much in haste. So, the best thing to do is for Rod to get himself situated where he can take a look at all the postings, because he received everything in one large email, and I broke them up so that it would not completely overwhelm people, and we could comment action by action.
Okay, so I hadn't seen what the final looked like on that one, so go ahead. We'll go ahead and do the review as stated before.
Okay, thank you. So that brings us back into Category 9, which has, 23 different items, Marika? Is that correct, or?
Let me just check. It's A through V, so yep.
I'll go ahead and take the first seven, volunteer for the first seven, so that's H, G. Correct? Like, am I converting numbers to letters appropriately?
Yep. I think so.
Okay. Anyone else want to jump in there? I know that FastWalks is high on everyone's desired list of tasks for the next week.
Now, I'm not going to be able to take an assignment this week. I have two board reports to write, I'm heading out to Barcelona on Sunday night, so I apologize, but I just don't have any bandwidth at the moment. Yeah.
Understood. I think certainly understandable.
James, it's Paul. I can jump in and take a chunk. I'm just a little curious, all these are focused on calls for more study and whatnot. I guess I'm just left wondering how the draft that we have posted right now, we work off of that. So if I go back to see what text we're currently using in terms of references to other studies that are done, things that were available to us, et cetera, can we refer to that? Because I'm just a little concerned that, if somebody out there in the community says there should be more study, how do we as a working group say, look, we understand that, how some of us from the very start thought that we should have been doing additional research before a PDP process was kicked off. I just really don't want to create a situation where by recognizing these other folks, public comments calling for additional work, that we're, kind of creating an open end for this particular process. I mean, I guess I'm just struggling with so many of them are like, do this, do that, but where do we draw the line?
Well, I think that's an excellent point, Paul. We should probably agree on some sort of a set of criterion some sort of litmus test where we set the bar very high, whether or not we include recommendations for further study into our report in next steps, or whether we just acknowledge it in the comment annex. And I think that, just off the cuff, I think it would have to be new information that doesn't overlap or duplicate existing studies that are mentioned in the report. It would have to conceivably yield very narrow and actionable information to formulate a policy. And if it fails on any of those accounts, or if it's too vague and needs to be tightened up, we would just acknowledge it in the comments and move on, but not actually promote it to a recommended next step.
Okay. Okay. So then you had through letter, what, James? G?
Through H? Through G.
G.
Why don't we just call it H?
Well, I'd go the other way. Why don't you take through F, and then I'll take G, because if there are, you know, three comments from the IPC constituency. So I'll take G through, why don't I do P, that way I'll have Mr. Overton's, all of his as well.
Okay. And then we need P through V, which is the last chunk. No takers. Goodness, we're going to have to start bribing people. I'll go ahead.
If there are no takers and we can't get it done by next week, I could probably commit to doing some of them, you know, the week after. You know, I just can't do any more, you know, between now and, you know, and the 15th. You know.
Why don't Paul and I just kind of do the ones that we've signed on for, and then I'll just continue as far as I can, beginning at P, and see how far I can get through that before the next week's call. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, the other thing you might want to consider, James, is to, you know, just post your thoughts. And you know, maybe we can resolve some of these, you know, through mailing list conversations.
Sure, it's a good idea, and I'll try and get those out this weekend, and then that'll give some folks some time to, you know, start a discussion if any is warranted. Okay, so that looks like we've got about 8 minutes remaining, and we've got a couple of items that we pushed off into next week, so we'll tackle some of the proposed text changes. We're looking for some suggested text from on the list, and we'll have a chance to digest Category 4 and Category 6 on the list. We'll cover those first next week, and then we'll dive into Category 9. Once we get through the comments, then we can begin taking a look at those incomplete sections, Section 8 and 9, and start thinking about how we're going to tie this up with a bow and present it to Council. So please, I would encourage everyone to stay active on the list. The more we can accomplish in the period between calls, the closer we are to getting this wrapped up and getting our Wednesday mornings back, and still making sure that we're doing justice to all of the work that came before us. So we can conclude a few minutes early if there's no other items of business. Anyone?
May I suggest that if there's a way we could start a couple threads on the conclusion section, that might not be a bad idea, just to kind of, if nothing else, get the ball rolling.
Okay. So we can start that. I'm a little hesitant to do that until we have a chance to go through these last two categories, but I think that definitely after next week that's appropriate, just in case there's something that needs to But I guess I'm not sure where I would even start with that with these things outstanding.
Okay.
But I agree that if we can do as much in parallel as possible, that's it's going to get us closer to our goal. Marie, do we have anything at all in the sections now, or does it just, are they just placeholders?
I think it was 5.3.5.4. I think they're just placeholder saying Corporal Wayne, until further comments and constituency statements have been received before reviewing this further.
Okay. Well, maybe we can at least put together a format of what we want to recommend, different categories of recommendations, if we want to recommend further studies, for example, or best practices for ICANN entities, or best practices for non-contracted entities, or best practices for law enforcement, or whatever. We can put together a couple of different categories of recommendations, and then we can flush them out later once we've had a chance to process the comments. Okay, well, that's it. I think we've covered quite a bit this call, and let's keep it moving. And I just would encourage everyone to work on the list and keep our eyes on the prize. That we want to get this get through this as expeditiously as possible.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Good call.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.